I'm pretty excited about it. And what an honor to just get to share what the Lord has done in my life and what he is teaching me and with you guys before I leave. So tonight, I'm really thankful that we had a little bit of time to pray and kind of open our hearts before jumping into this, because I have a feeling that the Lord just kind of wants to challenge us in a few things. And so I'm going to ask you guys, like we've been doing in pretty much every week, asking you to step into a new maturity and a new kind of awareness of this thing that's called God's healing, which can be kind of scary and kind of intimidating to handle. So I'm really excited about it. So as we jump in, I'm going to kind of focus on two main points. The first one is that God is healing today. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. The next thing is that God, when I say that God is healer, I mean that God is healing, wants to heal you holistically. And what I mean by that is that God desires to restore and repair every aspect of your life. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like. But first, I want to go to Scripture. So there is a story that jumped out at me as I was preparing for this message. And there's a lot of examples in Scripture of Jesus healing, but this one really, I felt like, fit. So we're going to go to John 9, and I think it's going to be up on the screen. Yay. And I didn't type it out, so I'm going to read it off the screen. This story is about, it's a piece of, you get to a glimpse of what Jesus' ministry is as he is proclaiming the kingdom. And so this is one encounter that Jesus has with a man. As he went along, this is Jesus, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed, and then I could see." And I love this story. I love the story because of a couple reasons. A thing that jumped out at me as I was reading it is that this man's healing was a process. It was a journey. It was something that didn't happen instantaneously. Jesus had other encounters where people would just touch his cloak and they'd be healed in an instant. But this was not one of those examples. Here, the man came and Jesus spit in the dirt. Then he put the mud on his eyes. That had to have been uncomfortable. We don't have other accounts of Jesus doing this, so I don't think the man was expecting that. We also are told that he didn't just wipe off the mud and he was healed right then either. He actually had to go to this pool. And I'm actually not sure how far away it was, but I get the feeling it wasn't like just right around the corner. So this man, with mud now on his eyes, has to travel from where Jesus was to this pool and be healed. And that is when the healing occurred. A lot of things are interesting to me about this story. One, it didn't happen instantly. Two, there could have been all kinds of ideas going on in this man's head. Can you imagine? Like, is this going to work? Am I going to be healed, or am I just going to look like a fool? And why? I'm really embarrassed. There's mud on my face. Like, what's going on? And yet, he was faithful. He didn't question Jesus. He did it. And I'm sure that it was uncomfortable. He also probably had to lean on someone to get there. I don't know, you know, how he would have found his way without some help. So that's, I think, important to note as well. As I've been praying about what the Lord has for the well and us in this topic, this story stood out because I believe that sometimes we come thinking that God is going to heal us and it will be right now, instantly, and then it'll be all good. Sometimes the Lord does that, and that's awesome, but sometimes the healing is also a journey, just like this man's healing was. Sometimes you have to walk through the mud. Sometimes you actually have to face that brokenness, that thing that you were kind of wanting to avoid and not wanting to face, in order to experience true healing. And it can be a process. It can take a little bit of time. And there's actually a lot of freedom that comes from walking through that. So that's pretty incredible. Before we go deeper into this idea of God healing us holistically, I want to talk about the idea that God heals today. There is a school of thought that believes that that miraculous things and Jesus doing healings, God healing people, happened in the Bible, and that was great, and we believe that. But today, I don't see that in my daily life, so that doesn't happen. And I kind of want to challenge that idea. Maybe you grew up in like a conservative background. I grew up in a conservative background, actually, and never had I ever had an experience of like getting to pray for healing for someone. That sounded really scary to me. But tonight, I believe that God wants us to know that he is actually healing today, and he loves and delights in healing his people. When I say healing, remember, that can look differently for different people. That can look like an instant healing, or it can also look like a journey of healing, which both are equally valid and valuable. I want to share with you a story of God healing today. Actually, I have two stories, but the first story is from an experience I had 2 years ago. Some of you know that I went on something called the World Race. It was an 11-month mission trip. You might have heard about it from Ryan Otto. Our friend is out on the World Race right now. We have some friends also getting ready to go. And so this is it was a really amazing thing. 11-month mission trip. Went to 11 countries, 11 months. And during the middle, we were in Africa for 3 months. We were in East Africa. So I was on a team of 4 people. And we were in Tanzania. So, like I said earlier, I grew up in a very conservative background, so I really had very little experience with anything like charismatic or any kind of people bringing you their broken and you healing them. So this was not something I was used to. So we're in Tanzania, and the pastor takes us out to this very, very remote village. It's in the middle of the jungle. And he lets us know once we get there that we're going to be having a week-long conference and we are preaching and leading all the worship. So great. So we were a great team and we nominated our leader to do it. So my leader preached a great sermon on a whim, and then the pastor got up and actually preached another sermon. So the church service was like probably 3 or 4 hours. It was getting later. We were getting exhausted. And the pastor gets up before he sits down after he preaches. He says, "Everyone is invited. Your entire village, bring everyone you know. Everyone is invited back to our house right now. This World Race team has agreed to pray and heal everyone of their brokenness." We looked at each other and we were like, "I didn't volunteer for that. I don't know what you're talking about." But you can't get out of it when the pastor like invites the entire village to your home. So we walk back to the home, and I kid you not, there were like 100 people lined up out the door. I mean, just people were ready. They were ready to experience God, and there was nothing that like was inhibiting them from being excited for this. So it was incredibly intimidating having not done this, but the Lord was so gracious and he was so good and he was so present in that moment. So we just said, okay. So we went inside and we started one person at a time. They started coming in, we pray for him, and it was incredible. One particular woman stands out to me that I remember specifically. She came in and she was kind of hobbling a little bit, like you could tell that she was in some pain. And she also, we had a translator, who would tell us what they were saying. She was speaking to the translator, but you could hear in her voice there was like raspiness, like there was some kind of something going on with her voice. So we started praying for her, and we were like, you know, Lord, show up. We just want to bless these people. So we started praying for her, and you could see on her face as we were praying that she was just like lighting up. Her face was like shining. And we asked her, you know, how do you feel? What's going on? And she said, I had come in with my bones and my muscles and everything aching and hurting, and I couldn't even walk straight, and it's gone. The Lord took it away. I'm healed. Like, it was incredible. It was incredible. And we were astounded, but we also noticed that when she was telling us this through the translator, that her voice was still kind of scratchy. And so we were like, can we pray for you again? Would that be okay? So we prayed for her again, and we just asked the Lord to take away her, like, whatever was going on with her throat. And I kid you not, she was elated. By the time we were done praying for her, she started, like, shouting and rejoicing loudly in a way that was not possible before. And it was just really incredible. It was so tangible, and it was really my first experience of seeing this miraculous thing that I could not explain. Like, we are in the middle of Africa, in the middle of nowhere. There was no other explanation other than God showed up. So that is a story that came to mind when thinking about God healing today. That was today. God also heals, not just in Africa. He's healing here in our midst in the well. So some of you might remember last year we were having a normal well, and you know how it is. You come in, you talk to people, mingle, you know, we are seeing people up front. And the band was finishing playing. And after a few minutes, the band finished, and my friend Greg walked down off the stage, and he'd been playing bass in the band. And he grabbed me and a couple other people that were up front, and he was like, guys, my back is really hurting. Like, it's just really uncomfortable, and I'm playing in the band tonight, and would you just pray for me that it would go away? Because I really want to be able to worship and not have this pain. And so we were like, yeah, okay. It wasn't really a thing that I went into with a lot of expectation, to be honest. I just was like, yeah, my friend's hurting. I'm going to pray for him. So we put our hands on his shoulders, and we prayed for him, and the pain went away. And it was incredible. That was it. Like, God showed up. It was amazing because we didn't plan it. It wasn't something we orchestrated. We didn't say any, like, voodoo magic, anything. Like, all we did was pray for our friend, and God was there. And that happened here at the well in our community to one of our friends. So I say all that to say that God is healing today. And I believe he wants to heal some people tonight. And it's really, really exciting. So, let's talk about healing. When I talk about God wanting to heal and that healing is an aspect of God's character, I automatically go to, like, physical healing. I just shared two examples of how God physically healed people in our midst, and that's a natural avenue that we'll go when we talk about God being a healer. But tonight, I actually want to challenge us to take a step back and maybe get a wider view of what God means by healing. Not only do I want to talk about God physically healing, but I also want us to think about God healing relationally, that there might be some relationships in your life that are broken or not in alignment with what is best and what glorifies the Lord, and he wants to heal that tonight. There's also spiritual healing. There may be things that are obstacles between you and the Lord. There might be things, ways that the Lord maybe has disappointed you, or you feel he's disappointed you, things that have happened that you don't understand. And we're going to get in a little bit deeper to that, but I just want you to be thinking about that, because in a little bit we're going to have an experiential where you're going to have a chance to respond. And so just let it simmer while we keep talking. Like I said earlier, Sometimes healing is not instantaneous. Sometimes it's a journey. And with throughout Scripture, we actually see that that the Lord is working in pretty incredible ways. And we see that the Lord is not only healing people physically, but he's also healing people relationally, and he's healing people spiritually. So, there's an awesome, awesome story in the Bible. The scripture is actually not going to be up on the screen, but there's an amazing story about how God healed some people relationally. It came to mind when I was thinking about what am I going to share for how you healed relations. There's a lot of different examples, but I don't know what to share. So the story of Joseph came to mind. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in the Old Testament, Joseph was one of several brothers, and he was very favored by his dad. And he also had a really good relationship with the Lord, and the Lord actually gave him dreams. And he had this dream that his brothers and his dad were, like, going to bow down to him. They didn't take that well. So Joseph has an interesting story because his journey included some really difficult things. And the one that I want to highlight tonight is his relationship with his brothers. So his brothers were really sick of him, like, always being spoiled by his dad and always getting dreams from God. So they decided it would be better if he was just gone. So they plot together, and they decide that they're going to steal him and put him in a pit and leave him for dead. So that's what they do. And they take his coat and, like, kill an animal and put the blood on it just to make his dad look like think that he'd been killed by a wild animal. And they're getting ready to leave him in this pit, and one of their brothers sees that there's, like, some gypsies or some people that are traveling from distant land, and they decide, oh, we could make some money off of this. So they decide to sell their brother instead of leave him. So they actually take him out of the pit, and they sell their brother. Now, I want you to think for a second about the relationship that Joseph now has with his brothers. How would you feel if your family, or even just a friend, or even anyone, were to sell you and make a profit, and then you're now a slave? So he was taken into slavery, and he has, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but he has an interesting journey. He has a lot of challenges that he has to overcome. But through it all, his faith in the Lord remains really strong, and it's really an incredible testimony. So if you get a chance, you haven't read the story, or even if you had, it's in Genesis. It starts in Genesis 37 and goes on, and so seriously, go check it out. But the cool part of the story where God's healing comes in is when a famine occurs. Now, a lot has happened in Joseph's life. He actually gets thrown in prison. He gets accused of some things, and the Lord is faithful to him throughout. The Lord actually eventually raises him up to be the second in command of Egypt, which at that time was a really big deal. There was a lot of power, and the Pharaoh had a lot of favor over him. And so this was an incredible thing. So famine is going on in his hometown, and his family is out of food and out of water. And they end up having to come to Egypt because in Egypt they had this, like, great plan, and they had reserves and everything. So they come, and they end up, of all people, going before their brother. Can you imagine? Like, what is Joseph thinking when he sees his brothers, who, like, he hasn't seen in a really long time, who sold him into slavery? That is a broken relationship. That is messy. And here's the incredible thing. The Lord was so in his life and had really was so close to him that he was able to forgive them. And he ended up taking care of their provisions and taking care of them until they all, for the rest of their lives, until they all died. And it's an incredible, incredible story, because there is no way that in our human strength we'd be able to forgive that. That's not possible. But through the Lord, it was possible. So I want you to think in your own lives, are there relationships or any kind of relationship with anyone in your life, is there anything that needs the Lord's healing touch? Maybe it seems impossible. Maybe it seems like you have no power to do that. But the Lord is bigger than that. And this story is one example. I've had several examples in my life of relationships I never thought would be able to be transformed and restored. But the Lord moved, and he's incredible. He's so much bigger than any of our broken relationships. And so I want you just to be thinking about that. God not only wants to heal you physically, he also desires to heal you relationally. And lastly, I want to talk about how he desires to heal you spiritually. And what I mean by that is if anything is coming between you and the Lord. It's just that simple. This one, honestly, is the most difficult for me to talk about. It means that I have to be the most vulnerable because the Lord has healed me personally in my testimony spiritually. And in order to understand that completely, I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of my testimony. And so to start, I was a student at Ashland. I was just like you. I came in 2004, just, you know, normal college freshman. And I had it good because I had a boyfriend here already, and he had already been here for a year. So I was like, I already have built-in friends. This is great. And a boyfriend. So that was great. So we were doing our thing. You know, we dated for almost 5 years. We dated all through college. We were in love. We actually got engaged my senior year of at Ashland. He had just finished his first year of seminary. His name was Glenn, and he was training to be a pastor. And so we had this great plan. We thought it looked pretty good. We're excited to start a life together, and we were excited to serve the Lord in that, and we thought it looked pretty good. So something also that was a part of our story is that Glenn had seizures. He had epilepsy, and so it was actually a strange thing because it had only started in college, and he went to several doctors, and they didn't know, you know, the brain is a really complex and fascinating thing, and so he was taking medicine for it, but it was just a part of our life. Like, it became a reality. It was challenging, and it was hard, but it also didn't keep us from, like, pursuing life and living things out. So in 2008, I was living in Columbus. It was the summer after my senior year at Ashland. I had another semester. I was studying education, and Glenn was up here in Ashland. He was taking summer classes. And the Lord actually took Glenn to be home with him in heaven. He passed away. In his sleep, he had a seizure. And it was something that absolutely floored me. Like, it was completely unexpected. It was not wanted. It really, really hit me, like, really, really hard. And as you can imagine, it took me into an incredibly dark place with the Lord. Until then, things weren't perfect, but I trusted the Lord, and I was excited to serve him, and, you know, I knew that he was faithful and he was good, but I'd never experienced something this shattering, of losing my fiance in an instant. So the amazing thing is that through that, God was faithful. So I had a lot of questions. It made me really angry at God. I put up a ton of walls between me and Jesus. I was like, I don't trust you. I had this great plan, and I thought it was really good. I thought you were blessing it, but it's gone. It's gone. I don't know what you want from me. Glenn had passed away in his sleep also, and so in my mind, I had no one else to blame. I only had God to blame. And so that was like a huge betrayal in my heart. And it just sent me into this really dark, dark place where I was really angry and I was really, really hurt. And it affected every aspect of my life. That's the thing with when things are broken in your life, this idea of being holistic and God desiring to bring healing to all aspects, everything's connected. Your relationships are connected to your spiritual walk is connected. When you and God are not right, other people can tell sometimes. when you're broken physically, when you have something wrong, that emotionally affects you, that affects you and your relations with other people. So they're all connected. So when I went through this, I was affected in all areas. But the incredible thing is that God was in it throughout the entire journey. This kind of healing is an example of it being a journey. It took a long time, and it's still a process. It's still a journey. But the incredible thing is that God was faithful and that he was good and he was there. And at the time, you could have told me that, and I would have been like, okay, I don't feel it. But now, after 4 years of walking this journey of healing, the Lord, I just believe it in my heart, and I know it to be true, that God was in it every step of the way, and he was always working for my good. And I just want you to hear that tonight, that it's true for you. God is always, 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 always working for your good. Your circumstances could look insane, and you could be feeling like crazy, really hard things, but he loves you, and he is always, always working for your good. And so that is the amazing thing when we talk about his healing, because he is demonstrating his love for you in wanting to step into these situations and wanting to step into your brokenness with you. He's calling us into a journey, and he's calling us into feeling that brokenness, but he's not saying to do it alone. He's with you, and he's there. When the man who came to Jesus was blind, and when he put that mud on his eyes, Jesus was there, and he wasn't alone. He had community. He had people take him to the pool, and he was healed. And so I think that's an important thing to remember as well. We're excited at the well to come with you on this journey. So I want you guys to close your eyes for me for a second. I want you to imagine an entire massive wall being covered in a beautiful, beautiful mural that's just lots of colors, and it's beautiful. Now I want you to imagine that you walk up so close to this wall that your nose is like touching the wall, and all you can see is just that one little spot. Maybe you see only one color or two colors. Maybe they clash and they don't go together. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you at all. But if you step back again and look at the entire wall, you can see that all of those colors, those two little pieces that you can only see at that one point, are all working for the beauty of the large picture, the wide picture. That all of those colors and all those things that might not have made sense when you were super, super close to it were all an important part of making that painting and that art beautiful. And I believe that if you open your hearts to what God is doing in your life, the journey that he has you on, this journey of healing, that it can be sometimes like that. You can sometimes feel like you don't understand. You only see that one little piece. But God sees the whole thing. He sees the bigger picture, and he sees the beauty that is your story. He could see my story when I was in the middle of the pit, in the mud, not understanding at all. He could see that someday I was going to speak at the well. And someday I was going to go on the world race, and I just believe that for you guys tonight. I believe that he has some healing available, and that there are people here that need physical healing, that have something broken that the Lord is wanting to heal tonight. I also believe that that healing can look like an instantaneous, like instant healing, which I shared examples of. But it also can be a journey, and it can be challenging. But I know that he's with you, and he's always working for your good. I believe there are people here tonight that have some relationships that maybe came to mind that they need some prayer for, that there's something broken. And it might seem really impossible, but God's bigger, and he desires and delights in showing his glory and his love for you in healing you of that tonight. I also believe that there might be some things that are between you and God that are maybe keeping you from coming up to one of these tables and receiving prayer. Maybe some disappointments that have happened, like my testimony It took me a long time to be able to say, God is good, and he has my best in mind, and that's okay. My community dragged me kicking and screaming sometimes, but I'm so glad that they did. So tonight, God has some healing for you in that as well. He wants you to hear that he loves you. He wants you to know that there's no obstacle that he can't remove between you and him. So we're going to do something really cool. We have three stations up here you might have seen. We have a table over here, a table over here, a table here. And tonight we're going to invite you to step into some healing. It might be a little bit scary. It might be something that's kind of intimidating for you, or maybe you haven't experienced it before. Just like when I was in Africa and the pastor called me out to pray for this woman, I'd never done that before. It ended up being an incredible testimony of the Lord moving in my life. So I'm praying tonight that you won't let any fears or insecurities keep you from being able to come and just be blessed. Even if you don't know why you're coming forward, come forward or go to the back. We're going to have people praying in the back and also up front. Go be blessed. Just go get some prayer. We're also going to have something really cool. We have some stations at each table with oil, anointing oil. And anointing oil, historically, throughout Christianity and even beyond Christianity, has been used in ceremonies. It's been used as a symbol of an event that is happening that is important. It has an importance and a weight to it. And it's used for many reasons, but one reason that I love is that there's this fragrance to it. And it also is marking someone as set apart for a holy purpose, for something incredible. So tonight, if you come up and are feeling like the Lord wants to do some healing in you, whether that be physically, spiritually, relationally, and all of those being emotional, so emotionally is also included in that, then I'm inviting you to come forward, and we have some oil, and we would love to pray for you, to bless you, to pray for that situation, to invite God's healing in your life, and to anoint you with some oil. And the cool thing about oil is that even in a couple days, you might get a whiff or a smell of the fragrance, and it will bring you back instantly, I hope, to what the Lord did in your life tonight. Because this isn't just a thing that we're talking about, like right now, and then you leave and you forget all about it. This is a thing that God wants to remind you of continuously, that he loves you, that he's bigger than anything that you're going through, and that he loves healing you. So I want to close tonight with a verse from Jeremiah 30, and then I'm going to invite the band on up. And I just want to invite you guys to feel, just to feel free to come forward. I'm really excited for what the Lord has, because as I've been coming and praying about this talk, I just really, really had this strong sense that God says, come and be healed. Whatever that looks like. He delights in you. He loves you. He's always working for your good. He heals today. And he just loves you. So this verse, Jeremiah 30:17, the Lord says, "For I will restore health to you, and I will heal all of your wounds," says the Lord. So the band wants to come on up. And as they're praying, I just invite you guys to close your eyes and just ask the Lord if there is anything, whether it be physical. Let's see some healing. The physical station is going to be over here. So if you have, if you feel the Lord leading you to come up and get some prayer for some physical healing, that's going to be the station, okay? This is going to be the station for spiritual healing. If you feel like there's something between you and God that needs to be removed, you need a healing spiritually, come here. Over here is going to be relational healing. If there's a relationship that came to mind when I was talking, go there, and we're excited to pray for you and for your relationships. So if you guys would bow your heads with me, I'm just going to close in some prayer. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're here, and we thank you for being present. We thank you for the promise that when we seek you, we find you. And I just thank you for these words. I thank you that you are a God of healing. I thank you that you have healed in the past, you're healing now, and you are going to continue to heal. And that you delight in showing your glory and reminding us that there is one who loves us, one who created us, one who knows every single thing about us and desires to see us whole. So God, I ask that you would begin to stir in hearts, that you would strip away any fears, and that you would just rain your blessings and your love over your people tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen.